my slippers. I got to explain this to you. They are exclusive. 3-tier cushioning system. It's like walking on clouds, right? We took the MyPillow patented foam, the one that you know and love, and they created a solid layer to provide incredible comfort. Don't forget to use the promo code Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R, and you will receive 40% off of your My Slippers. Your whole family is going to love it.
This episode of the Sarah Carter Podcast is sponsored by the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been honoring America's heroes ever since. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
I'm going to jump right into it. Today's the day. I have President Donald Trump, 45, on the show today. I am so excited. This is going to be the shortest monologue I have ever done because I want to just get right into this interview and you don't want to miss a minute of it. President Trump goes into all the details we need to know about President Biden and the failure at the G7 summit, the border crisis, what's happening in the United States, what we need to do as Americans to take back either the House or the Senate, remove those leftists and move our country forward. More importantly, I think Mitch McConnell needs to listen to this interview. It's incredible. You got to hear it. Mitch might not be so happy about this interview, but he should listen to it. So I don't want you to miss a thing. First, before we get to the interview, I want to talk to you about AMAC. Remember AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. By joining AMAC, you are taking the first steps to saving the America you love. AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that AARP offers, but without the liberal agenda. I stand with AMAC, and I hope that you will too. I encourage you to join today at amac.us/Carter. That's C-A-R-T-E-R. That's AMAC.us/Carter. The benefits of membership are great, but the cause is even greater. Join today at amac.us/Carter. We're going to go into so many details with President Trump. I want you to know that I believe this was one of the most in-depth interviews that I have ever done with him. And the concerns that President Trump has right now for our nation, as we, believe it or not, have gone from an America First policy, which is so hard to imagine, and that in the first year of the Biden administration appears to have flipped that upside down on its head into what President Trump calls an America Last policy. I need you to hear this. I want you to hear this. They have tried to silence President Trump almost on every single platform. We will not allow our nation to be subjected to this ridiculous censorship. And neither will we allow our president here at the Sarah Carter Show to be subjected to that type of censorship. He is here to speak freely and to talk directly to you, to our listeners, and to the American people. And then it's up to you to make those decisions for yourself. Now, before I get to President Trump, again, I want to stress the importance of Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Like President Trump did during his term in office, it honors our military and our first responders who continue to make the supreme sacrifice of life and limb for our country. Help this nation to never forget its greatest heroes. Do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Hello. Happy birthday, President Trump.
Where is your Pulitzer? You should have you and Solomon and some others. You should have that Pulitzer on your thing as opposed to the people that got it wrong. Isn't it unbelievable?
It is unbelievable, sir. And that was part of the reason why I wanted to talk to you. First, I wanted to wish you a big happy birthday.
Thank you.
And
honey.
I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful day.
Very good.
And I wanted to talk to you right off the bat because we are not only seeing, and you brought it up, you know, with what's happened with John Solomon, what's happened with Rudy Giuliani. I mean, the left has not stopped targeting you, sir. The leftists, as well as the left stream media is what I call it. I don't even call it the mainstream media anymore. What is your response to what's going on here? And what needs to be done to kind of stop this like push of this disinformation?
Well, it's a shame what's going on. It's sad. Nobody's seen anything like it. And everybody's being targeted. Much different from the people that were in Washington, I will say that. Much different from Republicans. Nobody's seen anything like it with Rudy and with so many others. What they're doing is very, very unfair.
Mr. President, do you believe that there was a failure with the Department of Justice to hold all these people accountable? People like Deputy Director Andy McCabe, the information that we found out regarding the FBI's investigation and the all of the trampling of the Constitution, the laws that were violated. We still have yet not seen the Durham report. What happened? What happened with Durham? What happened with William Barr? Why wasn't anyone ever held accountable?
It's beyond description. It's beyond words that they weren't held responsible. The two lovers, the whole gang, it was nobody's ever seen anything like it. And you'll have to ask William Barr exactly. But it's a very sad day. They were so bad, such bad players, such bad actors. If you look at the Horowitz report, that was a great report. That was a report that could have been used. They didn't need any other report as far as Comey is concerned. And you take a look at the Horowitz report, even the New York Times, it was scathing in the New York Times. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And you'll have to ask them, but that is a terrible thing. And then you always say, and I go to speeches and I say, where's Durham? What happened to Durham? How can it be possible that it was allowed to go this long? And again, if you look at the Horowitz report, that was such a well done thesis on what the hell was happening. And then nothing happens. It's a very, very sad situation. They were caught and nothing happened. And you could say the same thing about the election, the fraudulent election. The election was a disgrace. And you could ask that same question. So one of those things, it's they fight a different way. They fight a different way, and it's not good. It's not good for our country.
Well, so many American people, I mean, that's the biggest question they have for me. I know it's probably the biggest question they have for John Solomon. I hear it over and over again. How come justice was never served? How come nobody took it one step beyond? We saw the IG report now on Lafayette Square. Where you were exonerated. You were exonerated not only with the Michael Horowitz report, but as well as Devin Nunes. You know, there was a number of reports out there that exonerated you, yet the media never changed course on that. It was a constant targeting. Do you feel that is still ongoing? Is there anything that you'd like to express? I mean, because this just wasn't the 4 years of your presidency. It's still an ongoing situation.
Well, and the presidency was a tremendous success. There's never been anything like it. We have we had the greatest economy. We rebuilt the military. We did Right to Try, as an example. So many people are now living because of Right to Try. Biggest tax cuts in history. All the opposite of what's going on right now. We're going to have tremendous inflation. The economy is going to be in big trouble. All of the things that we see now, it's almost the opposite. We had the strongest border in history, and now we have the weakest border in history and the most dangerous border. And it's, you know, it's very sad to see what's happening.
I was just recently in Guatemala, and I had the opportunity to interview President Yamate. He actually praised your economic policy. He brought up the fact that under your presidency, the Mexico-Canada agreement was a huge success. It actually helped lower the unemployment rate in Mexico to 4%. He kept telling me it's trade, not aid. And he was angry and chided the Biden administration for basically sending these mixed messages across the bow, overturning all of your policies, which caused a tsunami and is still causing a tsunami of migration to the United States. What do you think needs to be done now? Is there any way we can save what you built in an effort to protect our borders and the national security of this country?
Well, after winning lawsuits for 2.5 years, which is what it took us to win all the lawsuits, many of them caused by Congress and Pelosi, many of these lawsuits, we were just about finished with the wall, and then it was just finishing it up. It could have been just a couple of months, and they decided to stop the wall. And so we have little sections of wall. We have openings. And they could have cleaned it up. They could have fixed it up. They could have done it. Now I understand they want to do it, but they don't know. I really believe they don't know what to do. All they had to do, we had stay in Mexico. We had policies that nobody thought would be possible. Now it's not stay in Mexico. Now it's flood into the United States. And remember this, when they, Sarah, this is so important. When they come in today, they're emptying their prisons. They're emptying, we're not getting their finest people. And we are getting people that they've been wanting out of their country. You know, we brought a lot of those people back. We MS-13, we brought the gang members back, thousands and thousands, and now they're heading back into our country, if they haven't even already got here. We had the tightest border, the strongest border in the history of the country, of the United States, and now you look at what's going on with the floods, thousands and thousands of people right now as we talk, they're heading up to our country. We have no idea who those people are. It's really a terrible situation.
Well, and it's apparent, President,
and you know, all
Trump,
they had to do, Sarah, all they had to do is leave it the way it was. Don't touch anything. It was so good. It was so perfect. Leave it the way it was. And I think they regret their decision. And frankly, I don't buy that they want to have open borders because it's not possible that it's just not. You know, drugs are coming in. Human traffickers are sending in. They deal in women, mostly women. The human traffickers are having a field day, making a fortune, and the drug dealers more than they've ever done before. You know, we were stopping more than just having a strong border. Mm-hmm. We were stopping drugs. We were stopping the human trafficking. We were doing things that nobody's ever seen. And then now it's like an open sieve. It's terrible.
So why do you think the Biden administration did this? I mean, you know, Susan Rice, some of the same players are working for the Biden administration that were in the Obama administration. And remember, during the Obama administration, between 2013 and 2014, sir, over 67,000 undocumented, unaccompanied minors came into the United States as soon as President Obama started pushing the DACA narrative. You were able to move that, move everything back, put into place the migration policy, able to have some semblance of a normal immigration policy on our border that actually stopped the flow, but they went right back to it. They overturned everything. Some Republicans are saying, look, they want to bring in votes. They want the border open. What's your assessment of it?
Well, I find it hard to believe because they cheat with the votes. So you just have to take a look at the last election. They cheat. They don't need people coming in. They just add up. They figure, what do we need? But and you're seeing the things coming out, the same things that you're seeing coming out of Georgia and Arizona and other places where they have, in some cases, more votes than they had voters. You know, so I don't think they're doing it for that reason. Maybe they like open borders, but nobody can understand that because open borders means we don't have a country, and it also means tremendous danger with people being killed. We have rough people coming in. It's tremendous danger. It's hard to figure why they would want to do it. Who would want open borders? Who would want defund the police? Who would want sanctuary cities? Who would want this stuff? So you're going to have to ask them. I don't believe it's just for the votes because, if they get the votes the way they want to get them. I don't believe that. I believe they don't know what they're doing, maybe. Maybe it's gross incompetence. It could very well be gross incompetence. It's the only way you can understand it.
Do you think this is going to affect the Democrats in the midterm elections, that this is going to be one of the biggest backlashes, the border crisis for the Democrats in the midterms?
Well, I don't think it's going to help the Democrats, that's for sure. You know, I won in 2016. I think a large portion of that was the border. And then I did such a good job that it played less of a role in the second election, which, by the way, I got 12 million more votes. You know, somebody said, well, what was the difference? I said, we did better the second time. We actually did much better the second time, if you think about it. 12 million, we had 75 versus 63. And no president has ever gotten that many more votes. Usually they get less. Obama got less votes the second time. Usually they get less. We got 12 million more votes the second time. But the border played a lot to do with the victory the first time. And I think it's going to be a very big issue, yes.
I think so, too. And reading the stories from the Wall Street Journal and everywhere else, I mean, you could see the stats that the majority of people that voted for you the second time, a good chunk of them in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, had never voted before. In fact, some of them were Democrats. Some of them were independents. They had never voted before. They decided to come in. They voted for you. And that was and the border did have a lot to do with both the first election and the second election. I wanted to ask you about the G7 summit. It's been wild. I've been watching it. President Biden has had an enormous amount of gaffes. He has actually been laughed at right now. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on this. Your expertise is in economics and business. When you see what's happening at the G7 summit, what's going through your mind?
They're stealing our country. He's going into deals that are a disaster, costing us trillions of dollars. And we have to rebuild our own bridges and our own roads. He wants to rebuild the world, and he's killing our country. And obviously, people are looking at what's happening, and they're watching him, and it's not a good situation. Not good. Not good for our country.
Well, the Keystone XL pipeline. You know, look at that. Yeah. And then he supported, obviously, the Russians on this. You know, one of the big questions, it's like, who was stronger, who was weaker on Russia? But if you look at what's happening with President Biden, President Biden appears to be weak on Russia.
So I was the strongest ever on Russia, and yet I got along very well with President Putin. That's okay. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. We could have done great with Russia. They have, you know, tremendously valuable land resources. A lot of things could have worked out well, but the Democrats made that impossible because it was always Russia, Russia, Russia. And, you know, they don't talk that way about China. Do you notice? That's very interesting. They don't talk that way about China. But Biden is having a very hard time dealing with the situation over there. It's a little bit frightening to watch, frankly.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, China is probably one of the biggest threats right now globally. They've encroached in Central America. They're encroaching in Africa. They're moving across the globe. And the Biden administration appears to be very weak on China. Do you have any suspicions about that? I mean, look, you were right about a lot of things, President Trump. The media tried to go after you on Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, you gave a list of things that the media is now having to explain themselves for because you were right on it. How do you think this administration is going to handle the very real national security threat of China in our country today?
Yeah, well, I appreciate, first of all, you're a real professional, and I appreciate that, an incredible reporter, and you dig deep and you find out what's going on. And we did. We had many from the hoax, the Russia hoax, the impeachment hoaxes, the whole thing. We went through everything and still did the numbers and the job that we had 160 million people working. Nobody's ever had that number of people working. Nobody is ever. And then we did it twice. We really rebuilt it again after the China virus came in. We rebuilt it again. I think that the media has disgraced themselves. I think people know it. It's almost like they have no shame. You know, it's people see what's happening. They can't believe what's happening. And they know it. They get it. But the media will never admit. It's not a question of being wrong. They're corrupt. You know that. They're corrupt. Right. They know. It's not like, oh, gee, you're wrong. They know that. You don't have to say that to them. And when they do have to admit things like the most recent, whether it's hydroxychloroquine or the lab in Wuhan and all of the things I said, you get really they don't do anything. They don't apologize to the country. They don't apologize. Look, their ratings are now the lowest they've ever been in history. The media approval ratings of the media, the mainstream, the lamestream media, as I call it. But the ratings are the lowest, the approval ratings ever. And so people get it. But I think I know it started off at 10 or 12, and now it's up to 19 things about me that they were so wrong about. And, you know, I think the country's gotten used to it, frankly. I mean, how else would I have gotten 75 million votes?
Right. So you're saying, like, the American people are not idiots. The American people are, frankly, smarter than the media. And I think they can see right through that, which is why
the American people are getting it. They're getting it. And it's too obvious. Like, you know, when they talk about what a wonderful job Biden's doing over there, he's being taken to the cleaners. Our country is being taken to the cleaners. You know, a lot
of
people.
What are you worried about most over there? What are you worried about most?
I think that I look at these transactions. I look at the cost of the Paris Accord as an example. It's going to cost trillions of dollars, and yet China is exempt from it, and Russia too, and India too. They're all exempt. We're the ones that are bearing the brunt of it. It's disgraceful. It's a total disgrace. And you know, when I terminated that, I got a lot of credit. People get it. People get that too. It is a ripoff of our country, and it keeps us away from energy, the kind of energy that we have that other people don't have. And you know, we want to have a clean planet, but other countries, they agree with us. Let's have a clean planet, but they don't do anything. China's doing nothing. China's doing all brand new coal plants all over the place, building hundreds of them. Brand new, spanking clean new coal plants. And yet we're getting rid of coal. We're going to wind, which is killing all our birds and destroying our fields. And I mean, wind is a disaster. And by the way, they're all made in China and Germany. The windmills are made in China and Germany. You know, it's and it doesn't have the power and it doesn't have the stability that you need to fire up our great factories.
Absolutely. And we're seeing the inflation rate in the United States. We went from having one of the best economies to now looking at high inflation, unaffordability. The job market is lagging. Small businesses
are lagging. And we're not energy independent. And we're not. And we were energy independent. Gasoline was $1.87 when I left. $1.87 a gallon. And now it's over $3 and it's going a lot higher. And that's, you know, big inflationary stress. But you have that with lumber. You have that with food. Food prices are through the roof. It's all things that should have never happened.
What do the Republicans need to do to take back the Senate or the House? What are you going to do to help that happen? And what about the crazy rhinos that we're dealing with that can't seem to keep the Republican Party unified?
Well, you have some leadership in the Republican Party that doesn't do a good job. Mitch McConnell should have never lost those two seats in Georgia. He lost them pure and simple and should have never allowed that to happen ever. But they were angry from the presidential, in all fairness to the Republican voters. They're angry at the governor in Georgia because he hasn't done the job. They're really, I mean, on the election stuff, what he's done is so, it's been so bad. But they're angry at Georgia. They were, so in all fairness, when you go and you take a look at what's happened in many, many states, it could have been stopped so easily. And the Republicans just need a philosophy that they get away from the MAGA. They get away from America First. They get away from who we really are and who the Republicans want to be. They've gotten away from it. And you take a look at some of the, as an example, in Georgia, $600 versus $2,000, okay? That became, the last 2 weeks of the campaign, that became the biggest mantra for the Democrats. Now, would they have won anyway because they cheated? Possibly, okay? Would they have won anyway? In other words, would it have mattered because they cheated? But and the answer to that is quite possibly. But they're offering $2,000 plus. And the Republican leadership in the form of Mitch McConnell is saying $600. Whether you like it or not, that doesn't play very well politically. And they lost a lot of votes and they lost two senators.
That's absolutely true. And now you also have Liz Cheney. How do you feel about that? And what's going on with her?
She's a disaster. She's a disaster. I mean, you know, endless wars. Let's stay there. And, you know, we haven't had a soldier killed in Afghanistan in a year. People don't realize that we've done a great job with that. We started the march out and it couldn't be stopped. I mean, they're coming home after 21 years. I used to say 19, 19, 19. Well, that was for 2 years I've been saying it. It's 21 years. We're there, almost 22 years. And we're bringing our troops back home. She wants endless wars. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's not a leader and she doesn't represent our party.
Right. I mean, I think like for one of the things that I think is most important, a lot of people don't understand, Mr. President, it's something that while you were in office, you were very adamant about. You had asked the Pentagon over and over again, bring me a plan. Show me why we need to be in Afghanistan. And they never actually did it, did they?
Well, they try and make excuses. They wanted to be there, and not all of them. We have some great generals that frankly realized it was ridiculous. It's nation building. We want a nation right. build. We got to build our own nation. Our own nation has enough problems. And here we are building buildings over. You heard about the hotel that was 1,000% over budget, the gas station right. that cost $100 million to build and didn't work. We're doing this stuff over in Afghanistan, and it was totally out of control, totally out of control. And, you know, we were spending $40, $45 billion a year in Afghanistan and doing nothing. We were like a police force. And frankly, we were like a police force, and they don't want to be a police force. But over the last year, we had nobody killed in Afghanistan. None of our soldiers were killed in Afghanistan, and they're heading home. But you have the warmongers, the ones that want to be, they'll be fighting in every country. And, you know, I rebuilt our military. Nobody believes in military strength more than I do. But we're dissipating our strength when we do all of these different things all over the world, trying to be nice to everybody. Trying to be good, and they don't want us for the most part. They don't want us, and they don't respect us, but they respect us now. But now, again, they don't respect us.
I was going to say, because it's not an America First policy anymore, is
no.
it?
No.
How
it's
would
America
you describe
last.
The Biden? Okay. America Last policy.
No, he's America Last. I mean, if you look at these deals that he's talking about over there, it's ridiculous what he's doing. First of all, there's not enough money in the world to do what they're talking about doing. And our country needs money. We need real infrastructure money for highways and bridges, to fix bridges. Forget about building new bridges. Fix bridges that are dangerous, that are really in danger. You know, thousands of bridges are rated dangerous, where they're literally in shape. I guess that means they can fall down. We got to fix our country. And we had it going that way. And then we had a rigged election. And that's one of those problems in life, right?
Let's talk about it. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, sir. And before I let you go, because I know I have limited time with you, I wanted to talk about that because, you know, every time I believe that everybody has the right to defend and say what they need to say. This is the United States of America. We're supposed to be a nation based on liberty and freedom. And you have been very adamant about the election. You have spoken openly about the election. And what we have seen is these big tech oligarchs like Twitter, Facebook, you know, Google, come forward and try to punish you. They don't punish the Ayatollah of Iran for saying he wants right. to destroy the state of Israel or kill all the Jews. They don't ban him. They don't ban the smugglers that I saw when I was in Guatemala advertising their human trafficking operations on Facebook. Yet they punished you. And Facebook basically said, well, you know, look, we'll let him come back on in 2 years. What goes through your mind when that happens, when you think about this? Because so many Americans are enraged about this. And what can we do to rectify this?
So what goes through my mind is we will win. That's what goes through my mind. The people get it. Look at Facebook, $500 million spent on lockboxes. You're supposed to spend $5,600. That's the maximum. They spent $500 million, he did, $500 million on lockboxes all over the place. And by the way, when the vote came in, it was massively Biden votes, massively. It's not even possible, but massively Biden votes. How is that allowed to happen? This election with the mail-in ballots, with all of the things that happened in this election, and it's coming out now bigger than ever before, and people in this country are very angry about it and very disappointed by it, very, very disappointed. But we will end up winning in the end.
And how do we do that? What advice can you give the American people? What do the American people need to do, especially if you're looking at conservatives or independents or, you know, getting that America First policy back? What do they need to do in an effort to really unify either the party and move forward and take back the White House or the Senate?
Well, I think you start off by getting somebody to replace Mitch McConnell in the Senate. You get somebody with a voice that is a modern day voice that understands what the party's all about, because Mitch doesn't know. Right now, if we had somebody, can you imagine Schumer doing what he did? It would have been just the opposite. Schumer would have fought for his president when they had all of the numbers and the kind of numbers and the kind of discrepancies and irregularities that they saw. But this guy didn't. You would have had somebody in the White House that would have been vetoing all of this horrible legislation that they're passing left and right because they stick together better than the Republicans stick together, frankly. They don't have Romneys over there. They don't have guys that are like little Ben Sasse of Nebraska. They don't have that. They stick together. They always stick together. And frankly, the couple of people that are holding out, at least they do it in an elegant way, but they won't hold out in the end. They never do. They won't hold out.
They won't hold out. And what about 2024? I wasn't going to ask this question. Everybody asks it. Everybody, you know, this is the question that I hear over and over again, but I have to ask it myself. Will you come back? Will we see you come back in one way, shape, or form? What is the criteria that you will give in deciding whether or not you'll run for a 2024 election?
I think everyone's going to be very, very happy. We're working very hard. We're endorsing a lot of great people, not endorsing some other people, frankly. But the endorsements have had a huge, as you know, because you wrote about it, but the endorsements have had an impact. Like, it's almost unanimous. When I endorse somebody, they win. We're looking only at the good people, the really good ones, and that's a big thing. And as far as the election, as far as the 2024 is concerned, I think everyone's going to be very happy.
Oh, you're including teasing.
You. Including you.
I know. I wish I could just push a little bit more, but I know you're not going to give on that. I know you're not going to. I could try, Mr.
President. Right time.
I could try.
At the right time, but not quite yet.
Well, Mr. President, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
I know
you, Sarah.
You're a busy man. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I know that all of our listeners will appreciate it, minus Mitch McConnell, who probably will not appreciate it, but I sure do. That's going to be a great story, sir.
Well, you take care of yourself, okay? And keep up the good work. A great professional. I mean that. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir. I think that was probably one of the best interviews I've had with President Donald Trump. And I haven't interviewed him much. I've interviewed him a few times when he was running for election in 2016. And I believe several times the in-between phase during his time as president. I've got to tell you, what he said about Mitch McConnell, what he is saying about the Republican Party, it struck me because we have been saying this for a long time. And I'm talking about just everyday regular Americans. I have been seeing your emails and your comments on Twitter, on Instagram, and you have literally said the exact same thing. Why doesn't the Republican Party seem unified? Why does the Republican Party seem so divided? What happened? What happened with Mitch McConnell? Why wasn't he able to whip everybody into the same mindset, the same process of winning this election the way it should have been won? I mean, the president brought up some really good points about Georgia, but look, Stacey Abrams was doing her job in Georgia. She was working it for the Democrats. And what we saw in Georgia was a failure, you know, for the governor and others, you know, on down. And I think we need to think about that. And I think we really do need to think about that if we are ever to see our nation shift back. Look, this isn't just about Democrats and conservatives. This is really about a leftist movement in our nation that we have never seen before. What we are seeing inside the Biden administration with President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris and the type of policies that are in place in our federal system, and we've seen what happened in the bureaucracy. Look at what happened to President Trump. Look at how the bureaucracy raged against him when all he wanted to do was expose what the establishment had been doing for so long, for decades, taking advantage of the American people, taking advantage of the American taxpayer, lining their pockets, abusing the system. Look at what's going on right now. Look at how the FBI, look at the DOJ, look at the Southern District of New York, how these institutions have been weaponized for political purposes. This is kind of stuff that happens literally in banana republics or in nations that do not have a balance of power. It is the reason why people are flooding to this nation. It is the reason why we have people coming by the thousands daily, why we're probably going to have 2 million people. Whenever somebody in the United States, particularly from the left and the leftist media, tells you that there's something wrong with this country, that we not are who we say we are, that we don't stand on principles and values that were established in our Constitution by our founding fathers, I want you to tell them this. If that is the case, why are so many people coming from other parts of the world, from every part of the world, to this great nation? And I want you to think about what President Donald Trump was saying. He's not given up. He hasn't given up hope on the American people or on the American dream. He even said it. We'll be back. It is not over. By the way, that whole 2024 moment with President Trump, he said, I would be very happy about it. He's not giving it up. He's not giving it up. But I think we all know where he's going. Unless that means he's going to back someone else, you know, for the presidency in 2024. And we know come midterms that there's going to need to be a unified effort to get conservatives back into the House and into the Senate. A unified effort. Without it, I don't know what the Republicans are going to do. If the Republicans are just going to be happy with the establishment the way it was, that means, you know, lining their pockets, not worried about whether or not they'll take the Senate or the House back, going back to the old ways, I'm going to tell you, then they are sadly mistaken. We, the American people, have woken up. We are not going to accept the establishment the way it was anymore. We're going to be looking for new, more vibrant leadership inside the Republican Party. Leadership that says, hey, you know what? Dan Crenshaw, I'm new. I'm coming in, right? I'm coming in. I'm making a difference. People like that. People that are going to actually change the way we see things. People that are going to open up that Republican Party and honor what it stands for, which is a society based on liberty, freedom, capitalism, ingenuity. I mean, think about it. The only question I didn't ask President Trump that I wanted to ask him, and I'm going to beg that he comes back on just to answer this one question. I'm going to be sending emails. But I didn't even get a chance to ask him about the new UAP report, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena report that's expected out at the end of this month, that is based on the UFOs that John Ratcliffe, his former DNI, had talked about, that there are these vehicles, right? And the reason I brought that up is because I just talked about ingenuity, right? And it's about people like Elon Musk, people like Peter Thiel, great innovators that see the world differently. You know why we have great innovators? Because we're the United States of America. Because we are a great nation. And just like President Trump said, we will not fail. We will win and we will survive. And I refuse to see the glass as half empty. And we're just going to have to work extra hard. And Mitch McConnell, I mean, I didn't say it. President Trump said it. Obviously, something needs to be done with the Republican Party. And I think you need to listen to that. And I think the Republicans in general need to listen. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a part of this very, very special podcast with President Donald Trump. I look forward to being back with you again, discussing the latest and greatest topics, and especially next week. Keep your eyes and ears peeled. That report is coming out, and I have some very special guests on this show to bring you. So once again, thank you so much. This is a great nation. Remember, here at the Sarah Carter Show, we're taking the story back. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Frank Ziller, I am so happy to actually meet you. Tunnel to Towers is an organization, a foundation that I am so proud being a sponsor for the Sarah Carter Show. So thank you so much.
Talk to me about the impact of the foundation and what you've been able to do to date since starting the organization.
Well, never in a million years did we think we'd be doing all the work that we're doing. You know, we just want to make sure that we honored the sacrifice and never forgot what happened on 9/11, not just to Stephen, but all those that perished that day. But you know what? It's just 10 years ago, we delivered our first smart home. From there, we realized there's such a great need. You know, these great men and women are coming back with these injuries that they would never have survived before on the battlefield. And they need specially adapted smart homes, and they deserve to have a mortgage-free. And that's what we've been doing ever since. So, you know, to date, we've done over 250 of those mortgage-free homes, whether it's for smart home recipients, Gold Star families, or fallen first responder families that leave young kids behind. And this year alone, we're going to deliver 200 of those mortgage-free homes. So we're very proud of that work. And they're not inexpensive. Each one of them not inexpensive. So we count on the goodness of America to join us.
T2T.org. That's T2T.org. It's only $11 a month. It's up to every single one of us to do our part to help those that were willing to give everything to protect us and our families.